AKA Jonathan Wendell.
We probably won't be spelling our names this episode, but, you know.
Let's hope not.
That's in the archives, after all. And, yeah. So, first up on the list of topics.
You should actually check IRC real quick to see if they can actually hear this broadcast.
Okay.
Because I'm getting
They say that they're good.
I'm getting some low levels out on Oddcast here.
Dobbs says it's good.
Okay.
And Atreus is dumb. Anyway, Dutch MP3 player. Taxes. Well, actually, taxes on all hard drives, in fact.
Right.
I'm sure everyone saw this on Slashdot. Had like 1,000 comments, of course. But the... Dutch government has proposed a $4.30 U.S. Tax per gigabyte, which would drive the cost of a 20-gig player, which is pretty average these days, up by $86. And there's apparently taxes on all sorts of media, like paper and CDs, that I didn't even know about. I saw that even in the United States, there's a small tax on CDs, but it's so small we don't even think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, actually, Canada has a bigger tax on CD media, which they love to complain about all the time. My question is if we go to go and buy one of these MP3 players with a tax, do we have a license to steal music then?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially, I mean... Does that stealing tax equal fair compensation and license to share files? Because we've paid for that now. And when you have, if everyone is paying it, you know that whatever recording consortium is getting this money is going to be getting a fantastic amount of money. And I'm sure that must compensate them for any losses.
Well, what losses?
Exactly. What losses? But, of course, beyond the principle of the thing, it's clear that it's going to kill the hard drives retail industry in the Netherlands, and everyone's going to go to Germany or Belgium or whatever's closest. And what have they really accomplished?
It's kind of like going to Mexico to buy your drugs, sneaking across the border to buy your MP3 player.
Yeah, I saw someone in the Slashdot comments was saying, you know, go to get MP3 players in the U.S. and sell them for pot in the Netherlands, and then sell the pot for MP3 players in the U.S. Yeah,
the vicious cycle continues.
Indeed. Quite an addiction, I'm sure, on both sides. Anyway, this is not really a new issue, but I'm just wondering what's going to happen if they try to do the same thing in the United States. If, I mean, a large scale, you know, tariff or tax.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something that people notice.
People tend to get really angry about that here in the U.S.
Yeah.
That type of thing. It's like, we will let so many other laws and things go into effect to affect our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when they start affecting our pocketbook, we go after them.
Call your congressman.
Yeah.
Anyway. I was at a meeting last, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday, and there was this guy from Microsoft there who was talking about Longhorn. This is, by the way, the next topic, Longhorn. And he was saying that he planned, or he's really, he's apparently pretty connected, and he's pushing to have the ability to really customize installations on Windows Longhorn to a degree similar of, you know, Star Nix things, you know,
wow.
Nix clones, to the degree that you could have a firewall without a GUI. You know, it's just a firewall, just like you would do with FreeBSD or whatever, you know.
I think that would be an awesome move for Microsoft. They'll never do it, but...
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, hypothetically, if they did do it, would do you think it would make them more competitive if you could save resources from the bloat?
No.
Okay. Different market segment, I'm sure, you know, that they want the GUI.
My problem is everyone that knows how to use an operating system without a GUI is not going to be using Windows.
Oh.
No matter how much Microsoft would like them to use Windows for everything.
What about me?
I
mean, I'm surely not the only exception, being the command prompt whore that I am.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Well, we don't know too much about that. I mean, the guy was obviously leaky as a sieve, and he was dropping a lot of information that probably wasn't supposed to get out, but I don't remember most of it. That was the only thing that stood out to me. Another thing I just saw on Slashdot today is that Microsoft has this plan called Team 99 or something to use the blogosphere, web bloggers, to hype Windows Longhorn when it comes out, so everyone will be like, oh my god, all the bloggers think Longhorn is the shiznit. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a good marketing strategy.
You don't think it'll bite them in the ass that they're essentially buying people off?
No. People aren't that smart. They won't figure it out. But
despite that it was on Slashdot saying this is what's going on. I mean, everyone reads Slashdot.
No, not everyone.
No.
There's still people that rely on Tech TV G4 for their information.
Oh, God. I'd forgotten about them.
Yeah.
They're so stupid, I don't even bother thinking about them.
But while we're on Longhorn,
okay.
I have a serious question.
Okay, good.
Apple and no. Apple and Microsoft both, in their new operating systems, are adding tons of new search features.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically allowing you to search like files, like no one's business.
Yeah. Well, the guy at the meeting was talking about that too. I mean, that's basically the operating system trend in the next, you know, couple years is going to be. Forget the file system. Forget the file structure. Just search for everything.
My question is are people really that bad at saving stuff?
Yes.
I mean, that's sad.
I mean, you know what? I would say that this isn't a problem, except, you know, I've been doing techno shit for 8 years, and my file organization is ass.
But can you find things within it?
Yes, but that's because I'm... super leet.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I think this is a bad thing. Because
no, it isn't.
Because people are just going to start saving things randomly, and then when the search feature doesn't work, they won't find it.
I didn't say that it was a good thing as far as what people will do. I'm saying it's a good strategy for Microsoft and Apple to be taking. I mean, right now, the searching and data mining is where the competition is. The browser wars are over, and it's now the search engine wars. And Google has their desktop search, and I don't know what Yahoo has, but they probably have something analogous. And so Microsoft and Apple, as operating systems, have to maintain their monopoly on the interface with the files.
Okay.
So it's good for them. It's not good for us. Or
maybe someday they'll have a built-in auto-save features where all your Word documents, file structure automatically gets created for you, and you just say, this is a Word document, save it somewhere.
God. That's really the way it's been going for years with, you know, My Documents being the default for everything. And
but obviously people can't use My Documents if they're needing these new features. I don't know.
I really don't want to see it become hard-coded that this format goes here, this format goes there. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's just gay. Uh-huh. And it sucks.
But, you know, it's probably where it's going.
Well, speaking of proprietary file formats, apparently Microsoft is also going to be rolling out Office 12, which is their 64-bit version of Office.
Woohoo.
Why do we need 64 bits for Office again?
Clippy.
Oh, we're going to bring back Clippy.
Clippy will be all new in full 3D, and he'll be able to, like, do kung fu moves on your desktop while reformatting your Word documents in 3D while spinning words around and changing letters.
God, I just, you know, I mean, 64-bit is awesome. Is great for really cool things like, you know, gaming and rendering and stuff. But you don't need 64-bit for Office. Not that I'm saying it shouldn't happen. I'm just saying, is this the first thing we should start with?
It's one of Microsoft's biggest products, so
true.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, things should be recompiled for 64-bit.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think the more interesting part of your notes here is why is 12 the official name for it?
I don't know if it's the official name.
Or is that just a code name?
I hope it is, because Office 6.
Well, actually, I hope it isn't.
Okay.
I think 12 would be awesome. Let's screw with people's heads.
It'll be the first version number ever over 10.
Right.
Everyone stops at 10 and starts doing something else. But yeah, Office naming conventions are need to be stopped.
Yeah. It goes Microsoft doesn't have a versioning scheme that makes any sense to the public anymore.
Right. I just like how they went from 97 to 2000 to XP, and then back to 2003. It's like,
yeah,
we're going to go from a year to letters to a year, and then to a number, which isn't a year or a letter.
Maybe they're just trying to promote the fact that version 12 will be two versions better than OS 10.
Right. If you listen to the first episode, you will know that we both think Verizon sucks. However,
I think Dobbs can share in this opinion. Verizon really sucks.
Yeah. I hate to revisit it, but it needs to be revisited because things have not gone the way they were supposed to. I mean, when we last left off, they were supposed to send me a new DSL modem / bridge. From here on out, it will be called a bridge because that's what it is. It's not a modem. Modems, you know, handshake and are noisy and, anyway, so they send this new bridge and it doesn't work. So it wasn't the bridge's fault to begin with, which is what we thought it was. And, basically, I'm going to cut the long story short. They have filtered out every IP address
Mac
except
address.
One. Ooh, sorry, MAC address. I, Okay, every MAC address except one has been filtered out on my line. And it... I figured it out. Would you stop coughing?
I'm getting over a cold.
You were getting over a cold last week.
No, I was starting up a cold last week. Okay. Anyway, the MAC addresses are all funky, and only one Ethernet card with that MAC address can connect to Verizon on his network.
Yeah. So what I had to do was clone that MAC address to another device so that I could... Yeah, it's so dumb, and I sent them this huge, long email about how much they suck and how they'd better at least, at the very minimum, allow me to tell them what MAC address I want to use as a gateway, and yeah, or I'm going to switch to Comcast. So I've given them a month, which is damn generous to make this happen. Anyway, so the interesting thing though is Jonathan / the Saint said that he had a similar experience with Comcast.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing happen with Comcast, where they'll maybe pick up like the first three MAC addresses that connect to it, and then any other MAC address that tries to connect to it is essentially screwed.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Three is better than one.
I suppose so.
Yeah, it's still dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
ISPs suck.
Yeah, back to... We've been talking all about software.
Unless
and
you
ISPs.
Live in Hawaii.
Oh, right. FlexNet.
And then you can connect to FlexNet.
Actually, FlexNet went national a while
well,
back.
Yeah, but that's...
I know.
It's not really
they
FlexNet.
They outsourced. But it's still, you know, you pay for
but
a month.
But you can't get DSL. I mean...
I know.
Stop messing with my comment. I'll just smack you down.
But... Okay, anyway, away from the software and away from ISPs, Socket 754, which you might remember as one of AMD's socket standards, is dead. Rest in peace. And,
dun,
you know,
dun, dun, dun.
The only reason why I want to talk about
dun,
it
dun, dun.
Is I saw this and I thought to myself, whatever happened to socket standards? You know, when they were independent of manufacturers. It all died of Socket 7. And then everything got screwed up.
I think it kind of is Intel's fault. Because they decided to go with this weird slot.
Oh,
and
God.
Everyone was like, excuse me, Intel, your slot idea is stupid. and we're not going to conform to that. And then... They made their own weird socket standards, and then Intel went back to their own socket standards, and...
I'm just sad to see the standard die. I mean, people can see the benefit of standards. I mean, people don't have proprietary RAM slots for a manufacturer, or proprietary card slots for a manufacturer. Why the proprietary CPU slots still?
I think it's because the motherboard chipsets have become so specific
to
the CPUs anyway. I mean, it's not like you can use a VIA 880 chipset with an Intel processor. It's made for
AMD. I guess there's no going back.
Yeah.
We've crossed the line.
Especially with dual cores and the different technologies that are being introduced with the dual cores actually talking to each other.
Well, while we're on the subject, AMD recently announced that they will have quad cores by 2007, trying to get the jump on Intel and, you know, announce that they're continuing to innovate, you know.
Woohoo.
Yeah. I just want these quad cores to make my machine glow and do 4 times the damage. Oh man, our jokes are so weak tonight.
Yeah.
We're also running through these topics like fire. We haven't even been watching the RSC channel. I wonder if anyone's saying anything relevant.
It's always Intel's fault.
we don't have enough bandwidth. Dobbs doesn't read slash dot. Jesus Christ. Our words hurt. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so on to something we can talk about, I think, with some degree of interest. Remember Thermalright?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how Thermalright used to kick ass?
Thermalright did used to kick ass. They used to have the copper heat sinks that were like a brick of copper on your CPU.
Yes, the all-copper heat sinks, like 2 square feet of copper surface area. They had the SLK 900, which was like the best heat sink ever made.
Yeah.
And then they made aluminum heat sinks with heat pipes.
Yeah.
And it is basically my assertion that all aluminum heat sinks are gay. But on the other hand, they were Thermalright. So when Jonathan and I built some systems for his, boss, I wasn't involved in the purchase decision. He bought Thermalright's aluminum heat sinks.
Well, I had to. Nothing else was on the market.
Nothing else. You didn't even try.
I couldn't get anything else from Thermalright.
Well, I mean, as far as something that was not aluminum.
I could have spent more money on something else, I suppose.
But the point is that they looked like spaceships. And
that was the cool part, actually.
Granted, that was the cool part. But they...
I mean, everyone wants a spaceship inside their computer.
Their performance is subpar compared to the SLK 900. And they installed maybe ripping out your own fingernails and pouring acid on them. I mean, it was horrible. To get these heat sinks in to these casings, we had to take we couldn't take the power supply out, but we had to move the power supply in the case.
Yeah, we had to basically unscrew the power supply and slide it forward into where the CD-ROM drives would typically go.
Yeah.
And then while that was moved,
we had to screw in the motherboard, one screw that would be hidden by the heat sink when it was on. And then put the heat sink on, which was really hard with those stupid ass clips.
The spaceship did not mount well.
Its docking capacity was seriously lacking.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the reason why we bring this up, I mean, normally we would say screw Thermalright.
Because Thermalright really, deep down, is an awesome company.
Yeah, they're struggling to regain their awesomeness, and they came out with the XP-90C, which is apparently an all-copper heatsink. Oh my god.
Does it have heat pipes? Does it look like a spaceship still?
Yes. It has heat pipes. It does bear a slight resemblance to a spaceship. So there may be problems. It is smaller than that giant son of a bitch that we had to install.
On the P4.
But the design is similar, and that kind of scares me. So... The reviews, though, show that the temperatures are pretty good. I mean, obviously, solid copper. I don't know why they ever turned away from solid copper.
Copper
rules.
Copper can get expensive, I suppose.
But they managed to make it cheap before. I mean, they were running the SLK 900 series for, what was it, $30-$40 or something?
Yeah.
Which was...
It's like 35.
Still less than the more popular... brands, which would run up to 50 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't even use all copper, but all I can say is I will give Thermalright another chance. The next time we build a system, we will have to get at least one of these XP90Cs.
What CPUs are they for? Are they supposed
everyone.
To be everyone?
Yeah.
Everyone.
I think.
Everyone?
I forget. It might not be.
Okay.
Who cares?
That's good enough for me.
We'll figure it out. Okay.
Next on the list.
Ouch. With the loudness. yeah. So Intel has called for a bus standard for cell phones.
Why?
What do you mean, why? What I say is about fucking time. I mean, bus standards are awesome. Standards are awesome.
Yeah.
Proprietary things are not.
Yeah, but it's a cell phone.
I know. On the one hand, people should stop making cell phones out to be their laptops. But on the other hand, standardizing hardware is good.
I mean, what I would like to see, and this is strange, you know, we call ourselves the hardware show, but you're going to hear...
about software.
You're going to hear from me about software a lot more than hardware. I really wish they would standardize the operating system.
Oh, no.
On cell phones.
Oh, come on. Do you really want that? I mean, do you want a standardized operating system for your x86 architecture?
Yeah. And there is one. That's why x86 is popular.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about x86. I mean, that's the hardware side. I mean, the operating system goes on top of it. If you're talking about standardizing an operating system, you're not talking about standardizing the architecture.
In order
to standardize the operating system, you have to standardize the architecture, but you do not have to standardize the operating system necessarily, even if you standardize the architecture.
I suppose.
I mean...
I want it to end up where I can buy software or get software for my cell phone and be able to use it on any cell phone, which is what Symbian OS does.
But that's like Windows. Windows is basically on every desktop, and you can get pretty much any software you want for it. Does that make Windows good?
No. It just makes it usable.
Exactly. So if you put the same operating system, a standardized operating system, on all cell phones, you are creating the Windows of cell phones. So everything will work on everything else. Sure. But does that make it the best operating system? No, it doesn't. I think that you have to have operating system competition in cell phones, just like desktops.
Yeah, but if the software standardizes, the hardware will standardize, and you'll be able to have other operating systems for the...
The argument from the wrong direction. You don't want to standardize the software to make the hardware standardized. You standardize the hardware, like Intel's saying. Standardize the goddamn hardware. Then you have the software compatibility. I'm really surprised that you're arguing this point, because it sounds completely unlike you. It sounds like what I would say.
Well,
like devil's advocate for this or something.
I don't know. I don't care about the hardware on my cell phone.
Fine. I don't know why you're even on the show. God.
I mean, I own N-Gage QD. Do you really think I care about the hardware of my cell phone? We're looking at IRC again here.
Jessica has shown up. And so I will repost to links.
Oh, we're disconnected.
We're disconnected.
I'm reconnecting us.
Okay.
We're live again. That was fun. I guess people will have to hear about my cell phone in the log thing.
Are we broadcasting again yet?
We're supposed to be.
What's this fail to open input device?
That's bad.
That's really bad.
It says we're connected, but...
This is gay. man. We are so the fail. But would someone please give us a mixer, for Christ's sake?
If we had a mixer, I would be so happy. But I don't want you to give me one. I want you to give me money to buy one, just to make that clear.
Okay, I am notifying the IRC peeps that our stream has failed.
So,
it's totally down. Forever. And we don't have time to troubleshoot, because I'm not recording this again. Anyway, so... the next topic. Finish this again. Topic list. Only a couple things left, really. Just saw this on Slashdot, I think it was. Sex offenders in Florida are going to be tracked by GPS for the rest of their lives. Any thoughts on that?
Via chip or what?
Well, I'm sure that they'll have some kind of transmitting device. I don't know, maybe a cell device.
I don't understand. I feel sort of sorry for them if they have to, like, have this bulky cell phone thing.
Well, I mean, it'll
permanently
get progressively smaller.
To
you know how that is,
right?
Eventually,
I guess
be a ring or something.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's kind of scary. I don't know. It's sort of like a Minority Report world where, you know, you cross an invisible boundary, and all of a sudden the black helicopters come down upon you, and you're just screwed because they know where you are. And, you know, you've crossed this invisible line into the forbidden territory, and you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see how this sets a very bad precedent. I mean, everyone says, oh, sex offenders, they're so evil, we must necessarily do this to, you know, save the children. We're doing it for the children. But if you pull back from the emotion in this argument, it's... not really a good thing, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, sex offenders are one thing, but where does it go in the future?
Yeah.
I mean, do I need to be tracked? Does my car need to be tracked if I'm caught speeding?
Exactly. I mean, you might do it again.
Yeah.
And you might do it again in a school zone. You know, it's for the children.
Right.
And so you do it in a school zone, all of a sudden the black helicopters come down once again, and you're totally fucked. I mean, the more extreme this gets, the worse and worse. I mean, oh, man, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't think people are thinking about it in that degree yet.
Yeah, I mean...
Way to go, legislature. You people are fuckers. well. What are you going to do?
Well, evidently get a collar placed around my neck.
Well, the other thing is that GPS jammers are out there. What happens if you jam your signal?
Yeah. I'm seeing lots of ways around their technology.
Or, yeah, you could give it false coordinates.
You could do all sorts of weird things to mess it up.
Yeah. I mean, how complicated is the GPS satellite info?
Not at all.
So you could just...
I mean, GPS at its root is meant to be read by everything. So
everywhere.
So its signal isn't encrypted or anything. You could obviously jam the outside signal and input your own signal.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
How effective is it really?
Well, I suppose you still have to connect to a cell tower. So... Right.
Well, if you fake all the data...
But they're still not going to know which cell tower you're connected to.
That's true.
That's
a problem.
Yeah. I don't know. There's ways around it, including, you know, removing the device. So...
Yeah, what an amazing concept.
Uh-huh.
Actually get rid of the collar.
I don't think technology is advanced, you know, far enough to really implement it, thank God.
Yeah, I'm really thankful that pretty much for every security measure, there is a security crack.
Right.
If there weren't, I would find the world a much worse place to live in.
Anyway. On to more exciting topics, please.
Did you look at the show notes for this?
No.
No.
I did briefly, but...
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate, because I was kind of hoping you would carry this topic, because I don't know as much about it as you do, so...
What's this topic I'm supposed to carry?
Let's see.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
I can carry that.
I know you can carry it. That's why I said carry it.
Okay.
Carrier.
Well, you need to tell me a bit more about it, and... Then I will
pull up.
I'll react to it.
The article, okay.
Yeah.
Article coming up. Anyway, I saw this on Gizmodo, which is another one of my favorite sites, and everyone knows about the, you know, the internet access over the cell networks through PCM CIA or card bus cards. Well, someone finally came out with a USB adapter for that, for 3G CDMA / EV-DO. I don't even know what that is, which is why I'm hoping you'll
carry this. Yeah, okay. the 3G technology thing is basically CDMA's way of putting broadband out there. And because CDMA is backed by Verizon, it's actually getting implemented.
Amazing.
This is awesome because, you know, it's...
More bandwidth is good.
More bandwidth is good. It's supposed to be uber fast if you're right in the right market area.
No.
Like Los Angeles, if you're...
And, of course, Seattle. I mean, we're Seattle is totally all over that.
Yeah. My biggest thing is the GSM standard also has this technology out there. For high-speed broadband, it's just no one's implementing it. I really don't know what else to say about it other than that. I guess go Verizon, as much as I hate them. Stupid Verizon.
I don't know. I mean, when I was looking at it, it seemed interesting because USB is in a lot more stuff than PCMCA or card bus are in natively. So, I mean, I could see this being useful for PDAs and stuff that don't have slots for cards.
I guess. But this technology is really wasted on PDAs.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... Well, and it might not. I mean, if you put them together... You'll find a use for the bandwidth. You know, you could stream real-time data from a small form factor, which is always a good thing. I mean, who knows what that data might be? I mean, it could be multimedia, or it could be more useful data. I mean,
sure,
it's a lot, and you can put these things in places where laptops can't go.
My web server is hosted from the back of my car.
There are even more imaginative uses than that, but
yeah.
We're not advocating anything.
I don't know. I would really like to see this CDMA standard just die and fall off the end of the earth because it's bad technology.
Right.
It's based on Cold War torpedo aiming bullshit that doesn't really need to exist or was ever invented for voice.
He's serious, and you should look that up.
Yeah.
Because it's really interesting.
But,
in a sad sort of way.
Yeah. I mean, it is more efficient than GSM. It's because it's newer.
Mm.
It does better compression.
Right.
I personally think the compression sounds bad. And I can often hear the channel switching going on when talking to someone that's on a CDMA cell phone. You know, the rest of the world, besides, you know, North America and Asia, uses GSM. It's already there.
Yeah.
So,
oh, well.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, Singular will... pound Verizon into the ground someday.
I hope for that too.
Yeah.
Not that they're all that much better, but even the smallest degree is still better.
Woo!
Right.
Was that it?
That was actually it. I mean,
we rock sword the topics tonight.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a good thing. We might have undercovered things.
Bring it up again. Let me see if there's anything I want to talk about more.
Okay.
I don't think there is, other than Longhorn is going to suck. But
you just hate Windows. You Windows hater.
Yeah.
I at least have a love-hate relationship, you know? So I'm not totally biased one way or the other.
Really?
Okay. So maybe I'm slightly Windows biased because that's what I know better than, you know, Linux and BSD and such things.
Yeah. Although I've kind of given up on Linux for a while.
So what are you doing now?
What?
What are you doing?
I'm giving up on Linux.
Because you're getting the OS X iBook thing?
Yeah, basically.
Why? Okay, talk to me about why you are giving up on Linux, because I want the perspective.
Basically, there's no support for video editing and audio editing and recording and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to use Windows, so
I don't want to use Windows because I've become a Unix person. I really am much more comfortable in Unix than I am in Windows.
So you want the pretty top.
I want commercially supported Unix, which is right now
OS X.
I'm giving up on Linux for a while because every time I do that and then I come back to it, they fix so many things. So I want to take a break from it and, you know, come back to it later, and hopefully Linux will be the rock star again.
I was thinking about something earlier. We've used up so little time, we might as well just ramble on randomly.
Ramble. For those of you that are actually have lives, you can stop our stream now.
And we don't have a stream, remember?
Well, if they're listening to this, they can stop the playback and ignore us, because we're just going to go on off into the distance about really useless,
really inane, boring stuff. We probably shouldn't, because it's bad form. But you know what I say? I say fuck form.
You know what? I agree with you. So let's see. Yeah.
Something to talk about.
I'm going to get a new laptop.
Yeah, you're going to get an iBook, which
it's not an iBook.
Well, what is it then?
It's a PowerBook.
A PowerBook. I see. That sounds more business-like. And it's still made by Asus, and I challenge you to prove me wrong.
Okay.
Emmett Plant knows jack shit. And by the way, for anyone who's still listening, if we get a mixer through donations or any other means, I think we can basically promise that we will have Emmett Plant, former CEO of Ziff.org, as a call-in guest.
I don't know if I can do that.
Oh, come on. You know you can do it.
I think he would be rather irritated to be our call-in guest.
He was on... You can tell him, because I saw this. He was on Geeks in Space episode 21 for the entire episode.
Yeah, he was.
How can he be on Geeks in Space and not us?
Because he used to work for Slashdot.
So, you're his manager.
But he doesn't work for me.
But you
manage
him.
I work for him.
Well, come on.
I can see what I can do, right. But I'm not promising anything
Fine.
Like that.
Okay. There is a fair likelihood that we will have Animate Plant as a guest. By the way, he's the one who did the music for the intro and the outro for the last episode. I would give links, but there is no online source for Pajama Crisis anymore, so far as I know.
Yeah, I'm supposed to take over that, actually.
Well, do it.
But Emmett has been really slow at getting me the lossless copies of Pajama
Crisis. You don't need lossless copies to put on the interweb. You have the lossy copies already. You know that's what you're going to be uploading for download. You should put them up already.
I should, but where?
Well, what do you think? We are sharing the hosting with Emmett for n37.org. I wonder if it makes sense to put it on that hosting. Jesus.
But we have a limited throughput on there. I can't have everyone, downloading Pajama Crisis. I suppose I could put up a torrent.
Torrents are for everyone and will save us all.
Yeah. Torrents are awesome.
Yeah.
Have you been listening to the Revenge of the Screensavers show?
No. I heard about it, and I thought, I didn't think Leo Laporte was that cool. maybe a couple of them are okay. Like, what's his name? Morton? I've forgotten their names because I stopped watching after the G4 takeover.
Yeah.
And after tech TV was off of my basic cable here. I couldn't watch anything anyway, right. So I forgot all about them, and they stopped being important.
Well, Kevin Rose is the guy that did The Broken.
Oh God.
And he's on their little stream thing.
Okay.
Their podcast.
Do they have double D too?
No.
Do they drink 40s?
No.
On their podcast?
Can no. you hear them? They actually use 40s? Skype. So they sound like ass. Surprisingly enough, our cast sounds better than theirs.
Well, that's because we refused to get in with the iPod Mafia podcast whoring.
What?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the sound quality.
Yeah, it does have to do with Skype, and, you know, I mean, Skype is popular in the whole podcast community and so forth. And they use
why?
They... I don't know why.
Skype, why. Skype is a voice over IP application. Why would that be popular in the podcast community?
Well, they're using it.
They're using it because none of them can get in the same location at once to do a recording.
Well, my logic is they're podcasting, they're using Skype, therefore there has to be some kind of correlation.
Yeah.
I'm just talking out of my ass. I mean, this is the unorganized, uninformed segment that we haven't done any prep work for.
Yeah, I don't
know. So I get to just talk. Woo. It doesn't have to be right.
Yeah. I don't know.
My logic can be crazy as fuck, just like MC Hawking.
Don't toss shit at me.
You just got owned by my foam.
How are we going to end this? I mean, how much time have we taken up here? We've taken up 45 minutes.
Oh,
I say we
God.
Talk for another 15 minutes.
I say we do. Totally about Dobbs' mom. I mean, Dobbs' mom is a hot topic.
I don't think anyone cares.
I think the people in that restroom cared, where, you know, I saw Dobbs' mom, you know, her cell number.
Yeah. Still no one cares.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, I think I was going somewhere with the whole...
Okay, yeah,
return of the
screensaver.
So, yeah, they like, talk about stuff on their podcast.
Wow. That's so unexpected.
Yeah.
Never saw that coming.
Huh?
Never saw that coming. Talking about stuff.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you have a real point for this?
I did, but then you started talking about...
Dobbs' mom.
Skype and how it related to podcasting, and that confused me a lot.
It shorted your brain. I admit it's bad logic. I admit
so,
it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be contrary. I think that's pretty clear. I just want to disparage iPod at any cost, at any opportunity.
I guess we can talk about how much iPods suck.
We only did touch on that just a bit in the last episode.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get why people are paying such a high price
exactly.
for this thing.
They're buying the style. It's designer. It's designer consumer electronics.
I suppose. I mean, it does... It's smooth.
Ooh, pretty.
I mean, yeah.
What seems contrary to reason in my mind is that people think that they are super hip if they have an iPod, and yet everyone has them, including people's, you know, like, grandparents. So how can that remain cool? How does it remain cool despite the fact that everyone has it?
I don't know.
It's just, when is this going to deflate? This is like the marketing perfect storm or something. Apple should be just on their knees every day thanking the marketing gods.
Yeah. They should be killing some goats.
Yeah.
But I think my biggest gripe with the iPod is it doesn't do anything special.
I know.
I mean, its number one feature that I hear people rave about is it plays games. They can play solitaire on their media player, and that's what I get. I'm like,
oh my god.
I'm like, okay, here's
so
my iRiver.
PSP. That'll play
actually,
games.
Actually, the funny thing is, uh-huh. is at some hardware show,
uh-huh.
and I heard this via the Revenge of the Screensavers.
No.
Because their first show was at some hardware show. I didn't catch which one it was. But they were saying how everyone was saying that the Sony PSP was going to be an iPod killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes no sense, because it's...
It makes sense.
It doesn't
well,
have a hard drive.
It. Think about it. You said that their only feature is that the iPod can play games. Insert the PSP, which plays games better than iPod, but yet plays music.
Ooh. On proprietary Sony memory stick.
Well, remember, Sony finally said that they will use non-proprietary formats. Well, MP3 at least. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, they're probably
codecs.
Still using
codecs.
Probably still using their stupid
yeah,
media.
The PSP has some weird proprietary mini DVD thing, and
oh
it has
man.
Memory stick. The good thing is it does have Wi-Fi. So you can use
Get
it as
the wireless
a web device.
Wireless fidelity stereo right there.
Yeah. you can check out your web pages on your little portable device.
I guess. Of course, you know I hate consoles, so I
yeah.
hate the PSP. I hate your phone, which is an N-Gage, and I hate consoles. And I think that the Xbox has destroyed basically gaming through Halo, because all of a sudden everyone who thought that FPS wasn't cool enough for them found Halo, this generic, you know.
It's a very generic first-person shooter.
It's
and
like
I don't think anyone will argue with that
it's
point.
Like Madden 2004 with guns.
It is scripted. It does have a storyline.
I just can't stand the way... We might as well just talk about games. Because I can't stand the way the game industry has gone. You look at Unreal Tournament, what was it, 2003, and playing football with guns. Why? What? What happened to Quake? Quake was so cool. I miss Quake World. Quake
yeah.
World was awesome. It was just rockets.
Well, Unreal Tournament
and nail
was
guns.
Awesome.
Even Unreal Tournament, you're right. Unreal Tournament, even Quake 3 was okay.
Well.
Okay. I said okay. I didn't
yeah.
say it was awesome. But then the Unreal Tournament went down the hill, and then the Doom 3 came out. Oh, hooray.
Yeah.
Thank you, id Software. That really saved the gaming industry. So much hype for Four Shades of Red, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, we have this totally awesome graphics engine. Too bad you only see one room at a time in all of four colors.
Pretty much. I mean, I really want to play Half-Life 2, because that looks somewhat promising.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm really going to miss is when we get these supercomputers
uh-huh.
that can do photorealism gaming.
Yeah.
I'm going to look back
and
64 go
64 bits.
Yeah, I'm going to look but back and go I want to play Mario Brothers.
Yeah. I know.
I
miss the pixels.
I miss the pixels.
And you know what? I don't want to
play a game in a realistic world. I can play games in a realistic world.
Yeah, really, go outside.
I want a limited world that you know might be 2D that only allows me to move forward and backwards.
Yeah, because it's gameplay.
Yeah.
You don't want photorealism and physical realism to the up to the extreme, to the extreme. I mean, Quake World, you know what? To me, Quake World is the height of FPS. You know, you can look at... I mean, I enjoy Battlefield 1942. I enjoyed Wolfenstein...
Return to Castle
Wolfenstein. I enjoyed UT and Q3. But at its core, Quake 1 in the form of Quake World is the height of FPS, in my opinion. It was just fucking fun. You could not avoid having fun. It was fun with even the smallest number of people. You get four people on a map, and it's fun. And it can be this tiny
even
ass
three
map.
People.
Even 3 people.
2 people, nah.
2 people is pushing it. 2 people is for tournaments.
Yeah.
But it was just cool. Because it was so fast. It was fast-paced. It was simple. You know, you don't need 500 weapons. You do not need... all these funky power-ups. You had the Mega Health, you had the Quad, you had the Invisibility and the Pent, and even that was enough. You had nine weapons and a simple map. And it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we still play it. Every now and then we still come back to it because it's just awesome.
Until someday... You know, I bet it doesn't run on Longhorn.
Oh, God.
But it runs on OS X, so my laptop will be set.
It will run on Linux forever.
Uh-huh.
We'll be safe. It even runs an ASCII on Linux.
Yeah.
But you just keep coming back to the classics in the end.
What about real-time strategies?
Oh, God. I knew that was coming. I knew you were going to say that. And, of course, you know, Total Annihilation... is the foundation for all real-time strategy.
No, that's the problem, is it isn't.
Oh, right. I forgot.
It should be.
It was totally the best real-time strategy ever made, and yet no one thinks it's good enough to draw from. Everyone thinks that they have to make a clone of either StarCraft and Warcraft, which are essentially the same thing, or Command and Conquer. That's going to be every RTS forever.
Right.
And I hate them. I hate game designers, except for Chris Taylor, who is, you know, the rules. Because he made Total Annihilation. And if you're not familiar with this, this is not Total Annihilation Kingdoms, which was made after Chris Taylor left Cave Dog. This is the original 1997 Total Annihilation with commanders, and it's all metal.
Yeah.
And it has tanks.
And
airplanes.
And the great
and
thing.
And submarines. And hovercraft.
Yeah.
And robots.
And it has bridges.
And, well
wait,
not
no,
really.
No,
not that,
really.
That was actually Dogs of War, which is the engine that everyone should have used. You know, no one knows about Dogs of War, because it was the most shitty gameplay ever. I mean, it was stupid. Stupid gameplay. But the engine was so awesome. I'm like, I want to buy this engine and hire a bunch of devs to just make the gameplay cool.
Yeah.
If Chris Taylor had that engine, I had this evil plan for the best RTS ever. Okay? You take the gameplay from Total Annihilation as the foundation. You take the engine from Dogs of War, and you take unit formations from Age of Empires, and combine it in a sort of... almost massively multiplayer sense, in that you have, it's not just, you know, you have player X versus player Y and they each control all their units. You have team X versus team Y, and
a resource system that
builds squads, and then one person controls the squad and then they can select formations for it. And
what I would really like to see is the merger of real-time strategy with FPS. Well, in the sense that you have 2 people mm-hmm. that play as if they were playing a normal real-time strategy.
Uh-huh.
And then you have everyone else play a FPS. And you have the people playing the real-time strategy mm-hmm. command people where to go. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to go there.
Yeah. That would be part of my plan.
But it would be... obviously the wisest strategy, because the people playing the FPS can't see the whole map.
But the commanders can.
Right.
And they would be the ones who decide what gets built.
Right.
And you could have this ranking structure for different types of things, because obviously, I mean, Battlefield 1942 proved that there were some people who are really badass at flying planes, but suck on the ground and vice versa. So you could have this ranking system that keeps track of people and says, this guy is clearly a badass pilot, but he's a mediocre tank driver, and, you know, they'll get preferred for that unit type or something.
Well, yeah, maybe.
It's just an idea. The real expansion of this I had thought of is not just, you know, in the TA sense, which is underwater, on water, on land, on air, but take it into space. Combine it with, you know, I don't know if you've even played it, but Imperium Galactica 2, where you had to, like, fight in space and then fight on the planets. That would be so awesome. Because you could have capital ships and fighters in space, and then they would, like, fight this giant space battle over the planet, and then troop ships would land on the planet, and then there'd be this giant land battle, and it would
mixed
be
with,
fucking huge.
Mixed with, like, a three-dimensional Boneyards, that would
yes.
be kind of cool.
Yes, exactly! It's like, it's such a good idea, and no one will ever do it.
Because everyone wants to play football.
I just pounded my chair with my fists, in case you're not psychic. Everyone wants to play football with guns. Fuck them all. I think we're done.
And that wraps up another N37 radio show.
We actually have a website now. Yeah, so if you go to n37.org, we have a temporary page up right now, but it has our email addresses so you can contact us, and the IRC channel with the IRC server. And
is that all up there?
Yes, it's all on my page, at least.
Oh, okay. Well, I put a link page. I put a link up at the top to your page, which is called N37 Radio, so...
It should be Cole and the Hardware Show, because that's only for the Hardware Show. I am not doing a page for N37 Radio as a general thing.
Well, right. But no one cares right now. Next week,
on the Hardware Show.
Look forward to everyone boiling me in oil.
Yes.
Yeah. Outro music.
Anyway, yeah.
Goodbye.
See you next time.